from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Haney 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. News from the Nest. Joe DeLisandris, Ravens offensive line coach, met with the media last week during mandatory minicamp, and one of the questions thrown at him was the offensive line versatility, at least the potential there for that.
When I seen good competition, I seen each guy working, you know, and I move them around quite a bit for their benefit and also for our benefit, because the more they can do, guess what? Get to stay in this league long. Because you can play multiple positions. And they all have accepted that role and opportunity. And, you know, Andrew's doing a great job. Sala's doing a good job. Josh Jones doing a good job. You know, Ben's doing a good job inside there. So you just keep seeing all these young men doing. And the good news is this is the time of year where you're learning assignment, communication, playing fast. The contact is not there.
You know what it seems like, Bob? You know, when you listen to Joe D talk and you look at the guys that they're moving around, it's basically not your, like, has Lindebaum ever played guard?
Not with the Ravens, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Ronnie Stanley ever moved to guard? The point I'm trying to make is if you're an established guy at your position, you ain't moving around. So that, to me, kind of tells me that they're not, nobody else is in that spot other than those two right now that are solidified in their spots.
Now, he mentioned Ben, and that's Ben Cleveland, now his third year out of Georgia, still not cemented as a starter at all, and you know, maybe didn't have the greatest mini camps, as a matter of fact. Has he been lapped already? But here's Joe D talking about Ben Cleveland.
Here's what I tell you. Okay. We played Pittsburgh, and we played the Rams, I think, towards the end. And Ben played very well. When Ben's had his opportunities to start, he's produced and done well. He's out here right now working his craft, working his skill. You see nice progression and improvement. And I'm anxious to see now when you start training camp, you put the pads on, and we're going to see if he'll continue. It's got to be earned, right? And it's earned based on play production.
Okay. Here's just to kind of critique Joe D, because he never says anything bad. So you kind of got to read between the lines.
Fair enough.
With Ben Cleveland, played good against the Rams and the Steelers. when he had his chance to start. Bob, in the minicamp, never was with the ones ever. So if he's playing that well or whatever, wouldn't he be at least get a shot every now? Because Falele was starting at right guard. And Sala was starting at right guard. Josh Jones was in. So that's kind of the way I read it.
Now, as we go into the third year of the Ben Cleveland era in Baltimore, why doesn't he start? How much better, I guess, has he gotten since they drafted him in 2022?
I just think guys, Bob, that can't bend their knees and aren't athletic, they're limited on what they can do, and they're limited on how much better they can get. He doesn't have great feet. He can't pull very well. You know, so Bob and I keep going back to, because I screwed up on him, was Powers. I mean, Powers was pretty much the same way. But then Powers changed his body around, got himself in shape, worked his butt off, and he made himself a player. I don't see that. And I don't like two things with linemen. Guys that can't bend their knees and 10-2 with their feet. When their feet are pointed out, 10-2.
Well, how do you, all right, if you're Joe D'Alessandris, it's your job to maximize. He's a big guy.
Oh, he's massive.
He's building with feet. How do you maximize whatever potential is there? Or is that ship maybe sailing here?
Oh, he's got to be with an athletic right tackle, too. I think, to me, if it was up to me, the ship has sailed. But because he's a big, and he's not versatile. He takes reps at both guard spots.
Oh, I stand corrected. Cleveland's 21 draft pick. So he's entering his fourth year.
Oh. Yeah. So
pack that ship up.
we haven't seen much.
Put some passengers on that thing.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of improvement. That's a thing. And Bob, the guy who knew him, Munkin, he was with Munkin in Georgia. So I mean, if Todd was in love with him, I'm guessing that he would be playing probably more.
Well, you talk about, all right, I don't want to get off track here, but 2021, two first round picks, Bateman. Uncertain what he brings.
Yeah, no doubt.
Away. All right.
That's fair, too.
And then Cleveland.
They didn't pick up his option. So.
Right. So.
And Cleveland.
That's your first three picks that draft.
We need a little more production from those guys.
All right. Again, let's get back where we're going here. That's Joe D. And you mentioned Daniel Falele.
Yeah.
He's entering his third year. So what's the deal with Daniel Falele?
Well, I think Daniel now is becoming more of a good football player. In a sense, he's starting to feel comfortable in his body and what he can do. We're working him at right tackle. We're working him somewhat right guard. And he's played left tackle before. So went up to New England and beat New England when he was playing left tackle, right? So, and that's a big confidence where he what he achieved. But I just see him getting more familiar, what he has to do, how he's got to communicate. I think it's just work in progress with him.
I think those were the best words right there, a work in progress. He'll flash some. He's learning how to play the position better, right tackle better, but he's still, his kick step is still, he's still making the same mistakes all the time with his punching and with his kick step and stuff at the right tackle. Can he lay that big old body on people? Yeah, but he makes me nervous in pass protection.
It's 5780-1057, The Fan. We do have breaking news, Ravens related, in regards to training camp. And Nolan, since you shared the news with me via the old talkback, why don't you share it with the people out there?
Adam Schefter's got the full schedule for every team here. Ravens rookies will start on July 13th.
Whoa!
Full team on the 20th.
Wow.
Damn.
So 20th is a Saturday there.
So, Jesus, the coaches don't get a lot of vacation time, do they? If they got to be
less than a month.
Yeah. They got to be back there on the 13th. I'm guessing it's rookies, and I'm guessing it's guys that maybe are hurt too. You know, maybe the Marlon Humphreys can come to that. But then July 20th, it's because they're starting earlier against Kansas City. Like, when are most teams starting?
Right, yeah, just looking at some others here. Full teams start on the some on the 24th, 23rd. Yeah. Houston starts on the 17th in full, so they're very early. Kansas City, that would be good to look at since they play in the opener here. Rookies on the 16th, also the 20th for them in full for Kansas City.
Man, that's a long. I mean, it's getting earlier and earlier every year, isn't it, Bob? I mean, pretty soon, what they want to do? They want to get rid of. I can get it. Why they want to get rid of OTAs? Because you're starting July 13th now.
Oh, by the way, last year the Ravens reported full team July 25th.
Wow!
So, you know, 5 days earlier, but preparation. Iron sharpens iron, I guess, as John Harbaugh would like to say. It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan, news from the Nest. And last one for you with Joe DeLisandris. Let's talk about that Roger Rosengarten guy here.
You know, Roger's doing a great job. He's eager.
I never promised you a Rosengarten.
He plays to succeed, just continued growth. Understanding the offense, and just let's see now when you put we put you in a game, how are you going to produce in games? And you're going to have some ups, you're going to have some downs, how you could bounce back of some of those opportunities, you know. But I'm glad we have him. He's a heck of a young man.
That, to me, Bob, doesn't sound like he's won the job yet or anything like that. He's got a ways to go. I mean, just watching him out there and stuff, too. Yeah, until you put the pads on, because I keep going back to that Michigan game, but, I mean, that was their last game, and that's the national championship game, and, you know, he's going to be playing against a lot better people than Michigan had. And they were bull riding. They were walking him back. So I got to see that he can anchor in there. That's the biggest thing that I got to see. I think he's going to take some time. Is he smart? Is he tough? Is he competitive? Sure. And then, but I got to see how he is physically. Is he going to fight? Is he going to compete? And can he, the biggest thing is, can he and Ronnie Stanley put their feet in the ground?
It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk more football here for more Ravens coming up at 1 o'clock with NFL Lunch. Got Ryan McFadden talking Broncos from the Denver Post, bottom of the hour. When we come back, however, going to count some money. Little buy or sell. Orioles taking on the Yankees in the Bronx. Big three-game series, June 18th. Game and a half separates Baltimore as they're chasing New York. Jim Duquette, former Orioles GM, and our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, joining us at 1:30.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, Vinny at 81.057 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, cranking it up to 12. Orioles in the Bronx taking on the Yankees. Baltimore baseball tonight. Salvo Auto Parts, Tim Barbalace, Jim Hunter tonight at 6. Getting you ready for that one. Orioles go 4-2 in the latest homestand, including taking 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. Yankees just dropped 2 out of 3 at Fenway. Game and a half separates. Ravens have a new alternate helmet. It's purple with a gold face mask.
Yep.
And they're going to be on Hard Knocks along with the rest of the AFC North in December. NBA's done. Boston wins the title. Stanley Cup could be the same as Edmonton looks to stay alive at Florida. So a lot to get to, but let's count that money, however. Go buy or sell.
Yep, the Dow is up 22. The S&P's up 6. NASDAQ is down 11. DraftKings up 56 cents. They're up to 42.51. Under Armour's down 12 cents.
As far as our sports topics, we'll start in the NFL, where Mike McDonald already got some new ideas for improving that Seahawks offense, and it starts with their top wide receiver threat, DK Metcalf. He's led the team in receiving yards the last two seasons, but has predominantly been lining up on the left side of the field almost exclusively, taking less than half as many reps on the right side, barely any reps at all in the slot. And McDonald says he wants to start moving him around everywhere so opposing defenses can't get a full read on him. Buy or sell, Vinny, these changes will allow Metcalf to surpass his previous career high of 1,300 yards.
I'm going to buy it. And the Ravens played Seattle last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, McDonald was the D coordinator playing against him and probably like, oh, it makes my life a lot easier. We know where he is at all times. So I think that was kind of smart, I'm guessing.
Not only played them, pulled their pants down, 37-3.
But a little NBA action here. Joel Embiid, his season, far from ideal. His absence in the regular season sent the Sixers tumbling down the standings, and then a knee issue in the postseason helped contribute to their early exit. But now he says he's close to being healthy again, still has his sights set on the upcoming Olympic Games, where he would be a big part of Team USA if he can compete. Having never participated in the Olympics prior in his career, you can understand the desire to be out there. But how do the Sixers feel? Buy or sell, Bob, after an injury-shortened season, Philly probably a little hesitant to have their star out there for Olympic action.
I'll buy that 1,000%, even though you can only go up to 100% if you get what I'm talking about here. But you can't prevent him from participating because you are representing your country, even though he's from, where's he? He's not from.
He's foreign born.
Yeah.
He said his reason for.
Come on, man. Sorry about that.
I got it.
Yeah. But look, this is a guy that missed his rookie season when he was drafted by Philly because he had foot problems coming out of Kansas. And he wasn't even involved in the MVP talk this year because he didn't hit there at the 65 games, which is now the threshold to do so. If I'm Philadelphia, am I looking at a guy that could be in the descent as a player? Because Tyrese Maxey's a stud. They need that third guy. And I like Tobias Harris, and I love cheese goldfish and everything that goes along with it. He's not that guy. But if Joel Embiid is MVP level, you got Maxey, who's ascending to that, and then you add another dude, then maybe they can make the Celtics sweat a little bit and get into the same conversation with New York and all those teams.
Born in Cameroon.
There you go.
He has French nationality as well.
I believe he was a soccer player at some point in time. That's a hell of a goalie right there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, imagine getting around that.
Yeah, right.
Back to the NFL here. Stephon Gilmore. Back in 2019, he was your defensive player of the year. And at the time, I think if you asked people to predict how his career would pan out over the coming years, nobody would have said what's actually happened. 4 different teams in 4 years. now finds himself on the free agent market yet again. At 33 years old, he's not rushing anything, says it has to be the right opportunity for him, but you would think there's got to be some interest from multiple teams. Even if he's not playing in that defensive player of the year caliber anymore, he has missed just one game in the last 2 years, so he has been durable. Multiple outlets, speculating that is, have identified the Ravens as maybe an ideal landing spot for him, a key depth piece. But Vinny, are you buying or selling that he would be a good fit for what Baltimore needs?
I'm going to sell it because I think if they get desperate, if somebody gets hurt, I think they want to go with the young guys. That's why they drafted two younger guys. If they feel like they need a vet at corner, like Wiggins, Tampa, Armour Davis, if somebody is not what they thought they were or they get hurt, Armour Davis, then they may have to go get a guy. And, you know, you got to kind of change how you play. I don't know that he can play a ton of man coverage and, you know, and cover fast guys.
Well, yesterday we got our first look at the MLB All-Star voting tally. Multiple Orioles are in contention for starting spots, but across the ballot on the National League side, a familiar face actually gaining traction as well, Joey Ortiz. Believe it or not, finds himself third in the third base vote behind Alec Bohm and Manny Machado. And the gap, if you were curious, I mean, it's sizable, but it's not as sizable as you might guess based on the name recognition. And that's, you know, pretty good honor there for a rookie who's proving to not only be a nice defensive player, but pretty good on offense as well. Bob, buy or sell, you know, not this year because Bohm and Manny will, you know, duel it out, but Ortiz will be an all-star starter within the next 3 years.
Starter?
Starter.
Ooh, because Adames is a free agent, and he might move to shortstop. Remember, Joey Ortiz was considered, when he was with the Orioles, the best defensive shortstop in the organization. Better than Gunner, better than Westberg, and better than Jackson Holliday. Yep. So that is his premier spot. All-star starter. And who was the Milwaukee player that said the Orioles screwed up by trading him there? Because he's a once-in-a-lifetime generational dude. I'll go ahead and buy it. What the hell? I'll vote for him. Unless he sucks. I mean, I'm not going to just give you an all-star vote because, you know, you used to be in the Orioles. But, yeah, I could see that happening. Why not? Represent there, Brewers fans.
It was Bryce Wilson, his teammate there. A little praise for Joey, the rookie. Before we hit the break here, we got giveaways this week. Gave away a pair of tickets yesterday. I got two more tickets here. Bowie Bay Sox, any regular season game you want. So it's your choice. You're not locked into any date. I got two tickets here. We're looking for caller number 8 at 410-583-1057. Again, if you want two tickets to any Bay Sox game this year, give us a call, 410-583-1057.
Have you voted in the National League yet or no?
No, but I will for Joey Ortiz.
And I told you yesterday about Ketel Marte. He could use your vote. He's 5,000 behind Luis Arraez there in San Diego. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk about those Denver Broncos. Ravens have them on the schedule. All right, let's get cocky. That's a W, one of maybe 12 or 13 we expect Baltimore to get. But Ryan McFadden used to work for the Sun, covered the Turtles. He now with the Denver Post. He'll preview Denver, at least heading after minicamp, heading into training camp. As year two of the Sean Payton era, not a lot of optimism because you look at Kansas City, you look at the Chargers, who knows what the Raiders are going to be. But court right now, Jared Stidham is number one on the depth chart. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. We're cranking it up to 12. You pick a song, we'll play it loud. Send your request, Plaza Sport text line, 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. What we've been doing here last week or so since the mini camp portion of the offseason is over. Now you head into training camp coming up for the Ravens, July 20th. Now we know, 13th for the
Jesus
rookies.
Criminy.
Been looking at the schedule, and November 3rd, M&T Bank Stadium, the Denver Broncos are coming to town and here to talk about their offseason that was the mini camp that just got done and looking ahead to training camp. Denver Post, You may remember him from his days here in Baltimore with the Sun, and he's been on this program. As a matter of fact, let's welcome back to the show, first time in a long time, Ryan McFadden. Ryan, good afternoon. What's happening?
Just enjoying the beautiful Denver weather right now. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. We're sweating in 90 here in Baltimore, but we're not complaining, that's for sure. But the Broncos offseason, as it's been detailed, you know, you had your draft issues, looking for a quarterback. Did they find one in Bo Nix? We don't know. But talk about, Ryan, the other needs that were addressed, at least as they thought they filled them in that quarterback room, as questionable as it may be, as we're now, what, basically a month away from training camp.
Yeah, obviously going to the draft, that was the biggest need. That was no question about it. And it remains to be seen whether the Broncos made a reach for Bo Nix at 12. A lot of people thought if they traded back, acquire more assets, they could probably still get him. And, like, you know, maybe like later in the first round. But you got to look at something here. This is who Sean Payton is. So it's no surprise how aggressive he was in terms of getting Bo Nix. If he feels like he got a guy, he's going to go after the guy. And one thing about Nix, he's someone that comes in with a lot of experience, 61 career starts in college between Auburn and Oregon. And that's the thing with Sean Payton. And so it's like for him, if he's indeed the starter come week one, Sean Payton has a guy that already comes in, has a lot of experience, comes with a lot of maturity, and that's something that's been noticeable through the spring.
Now, Ryan, how's he looked in the mini camps, you know, with accuracy? And he doesn't move around great. And then also Stidham, and how's Zach Wilson look too?
So I'm a guy who likes to see what the pads, what these guys look like when the pads come on. So I can't wait to see how it looks in training camp. But Bo Nix has looked solid. I think one thing about him is you can see how his quick release. And that's the one thing that Sean Payton kind of had with Russell, that issue with Russell Wilson, trying to get that ball out, not holding the ball for too long and taking sacks or absorbing pressure. So that's one thing that stands out with Bo Nix. He looks controlled with the offense. Guys seem to work well with him. But the biggest thing with him is his quick release. And when you talk to his teammates and his composure as well, and when you talk to teammates, even on the defensive side of the ball, that's one thing that stands out. And to me, like, if we're just going off of mini camp and OTAs, I feel like Bo Nix and Jarrett Stidham is kind of neck and neck in terms on that end right there. In terms of the quarterback position battle, one thing about Jarrett Stidham, you can tell this guy is more comfortable with the offense, given that this is his second year with Sean Payton. So you see that there. And in regards to Zach Wilson, that's something where you can tell he's like the new kid on the block in a sense, where you still see the turnovers, you still see him trying to force plays, you still see him trying to get comfortable with the offense as a whole. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out during training camp, but out of all the three, Zach Wilson has kind of been the more inconsistent one.
Now, what's it like covering Sean Payton, compared to Harbs?
Oh, Sean Payton, it's no off day, I'll say that. You always got to be prepared for something major happening or something that he says that warrants a big headline. So no, it's fun, but I'll tell you this: you got to be on your toes when you cover Sean Payton.
Do the people and the people in the organization, do they like him?
Yes. The thing is, when you look at ownership, the biggest thing when it comes to the reason they hired him, because they want to win. The ownership really wants to get the ball rolling. You see that what they've done with business decisions in terms of uniforms, stadium upgrades, and on the field as well. And that's the one thing about Sean Payton is they believe he's the type of coach that where like his methods might seem pretty crazy, but they know that he wants the same results as they do. And that's the one thing that that's what they have in common.
Now, what are their biggest needs going into the season?
So one thing I would say this: they did a good job addressing the defensive line. To me, that was one of the biggest needs going into the draft and the off season. But as we go into the season, you got to look at how the wide receiver room shapes up. That's my biggest thing. Is like, you know, you're going to get Courtland Sutton. You got Josh Reynolds. The biggest thing with Broncos, and this is what they had issue with Russell Wilson, is having that X factor on offense. What I mean by that is like someone that, like, you know, that's a that you know the defense knows that's going to be a threat. Mm-hmm. And right there, it's, they don't have that at tight end. Sean Payton expected Greg Dulcich just to be that way, but however, he's been dealing with a lot of the hamstring issues. He's dealing with a foot injury, so he really hasn't evolved into that role of that. So if you had to pick a biggest need, it's there, trying to find a pass catching threat at the tight end position. And maybe Greg Dulcich can, you know, figure it out, get himself healthy before training camp, and he's someone that'd be ready to go by the time the season starts. But to me, if you look at that offense, that's what they need. Even if you go back to Sean Payton's days in New Orleans when he had Jimmy Graham and how impactful he was on that offense. And that's what they're going to need. And to me, at the moment, that's probably the biggest need.
Now, Ryan, what about the division? I mean, the Chargers look like they're going to be good. Chiefs are defending Super Bowl champs. Where does Denver fit in?
When you look at Denver, I would say this. At the moment, I could see them probably third. It's going to be tough because, like, I look at them and I look at the Raiders and that situation where it comes to, like, you really don't know what to expect from them. And Denver is kind of in that rebuild. Like, Denver, they won't admit it, but, like, Denver is kind of in that rebuilding phase in terms of you got a new quarterback. You let go a lot of key pieces on veteran pieces like, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Justin Simmons. So, you know, this is a little bit of a younger team. So they're in that phase right now. At the same time, they got Sean Payton as the coach. And that's the type of guy that no matter who's on the team, he's going to do whatever it takes to win. So it's going to be tough. I feel like if anything, I think at most at the moment, the most they can probably be is a 7-win team, maybe 5. But it all depends on a lot of things in terms of who steps up in the wide receiver room. Does Marvin Mims take that second-year lead? Who can that rotation of edge rushers with Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper, and Baron Browning, can they take that next step? Because that's the one thing they've had issues with on defense is applying pressure to the quarterback. And when you're dealing in a division with, you know, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, that's essential right there is bringing that pressure. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough season. It's going to be a tough season for Denver. They're going to have that stretch where they play the Ravens and after that, Kansas City Chiefs. So the scheduling is not going to do them that much justice either. So it's going to be interesting to see. But right now, I look at them as a team that's probably in that like 5 to 7-win window.
Ryan McFadden, Denver Post, joining us, Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ryan, last thing for you. What's all the hubbub with this Patrick Surtain stuff, possible trade going down here?
I don't expect anything in regards to Pat Surtain. Sean Payton loves him. He views him as a core piece of this organization. Pat Surtain has said numerous times that he wants to be here in Denver. He wants, you know, be here long term. He loves the franchise. He loves the organization. He's made an impact on the field and off the field here in this area. So no, I don't expect unless something changes down the road. But at the moment, I don't expect anything with Pat Surtain. I think it'll be wise for the Broncos to lock him up long term.
Ryan, always great to talk to you. Have a great summer, man. Good to catch up. We will talk to you in November prior to that matchup, Ravens-Broncos here in Baltimore. Ryan McFadden, Denver Post. Have a great day.
Thanks, Ryan.
You too, guys.
You got it. Ryan McFadden, everybody. You cover the Ravens and the Terps for the Baltimore Sun. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. Got an NFL lunch coming up at 1. American League East report, 1:15. Quiet night in the division, only one game, but chock full of division stuff this evening, including Baltimore at New York and Jim Duquette, MLB Network Radio, former Oriole GM, and our colleague, Emeritus, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. He'll be joining us at 1:30 as Suarez looks to remain undefeated against former Oriole Nestor Cortez. Fitty and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Coming up top of the hour, NFL lunch, feed you some more football. American League East report at 1:15. Talk about what happened in the division last night. Not a lot, but still significant nonetheless. Busy schedule tonight. We'll give you the standings update, not just in the East, but throughout baseball. Jim Duquette, former Oriole GM, now with MLB Network Radio, joining us at 1:30. Talk about the Orioles and Yankees and other things happening throughout MLB. But let's bring Nolan in one more time. Now, anything change in the last hour, Nolan, or everything good with you? You didn't win the lottery or something that I can borrow money? No.
Hey, the day I win the lottery,
the day you're done.
Yeah.
Right, well, that's me.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
5881057 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. We're cranking it up to 12. You pick a song, we'll play it loud. Send your request, Plaza Sport text line. 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. What we've been doing here last week or so since the mini camp portion of the offseason is over. Now you head into training camp. Coming up for the Ravens, July 20th, now we know, 13th for the
Jesus
rookies.
Criminy.
Been looking at the schedule, and November 3rd, M&T Bank Stadium, the Denver Broncos are coming to town and here to talk about their offseason that was, the mini camp that just got done, and looking ahead to training camp. Denver Post, you may remember him from his days here in Baltimore with the Sun, and he's been on this program. As a matter of fact, let's welcome back to the show, first time in a long time, Ryan McFadden. Ryan, good afternoon. What's happening?
Just enjoying the beautiful Denver weather right now. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. We're sweating in 90 here in Baltimore, but we're not complaining, that's for sure. But the Broncos offseason, as it's been detailed, you know, you had your draft issues, looking for a quarterback. Did they find one in Bo Nix? We don't know. But talk about, Ryan, the other needs that were addressed, at least as they thought they filled them in that quarterback room, as questionable as it may be, as we're now, what, basically a month away from training camp.
Yeah, obviously going to the draft, that was the biggest need. That was no question about it. And it remains to be seen whether the Broncos made a reach for Bo Nix at 12. A lot of people thought if they traded back, acquire more assets, they could probably still get him. And, like, you know, maybe like later in the first round. But you got to look at something here. This is who Sean Payton is. So it's no surprise how aggressive he was in terms of getting Bo Nix. If he feels like he got a guy, he's going to go after the guy. And one thing about Nix, he's someone that comes in with a lot of experience, 61 career starts in college between Auburn and Oregon. And that's the thing with Sean Payton. So it's like for him, if he's indeed the starter come week one, Sean Payton has a guy that already comes in, has a lot of experience, comes with a lot of maturity, and that's something that's been noticeable through the spring.
Now, Ryan, how has How's he looked in the mini camps, you know, with accuracy? And he doesn't move around great. And then also Stidham. And how's Zach Wilson look, too?
So I'm a guy who likes to see what the pads, what these guys look like when the pads come on. So I can't wait to see how it looks in training camp. But Bo Nix has looked solid. I think one thing about him is you can see how his quick release. And that's the one thing that Sean Payton kind of had with Russell, that issue with Russell Wilson, trying to get that ball out, not holding the ball for too long and taking sacks or exhorting pressure. So that's one thing that stands out with Bo Nix. He looks controlled with the offense. Guys seem to work well with him. But thing is, the biggest thing with him is his quick release. And when you talk to his teammates and his composure as well, and when you talk to teammates, even on the defensive side of the ball, that's one thing that stands out. And to me, like, if we're just going off of mini camp and OTAs, I feel like Bo Nix and Jarrett Stidham is kind of neck and neck in terms on that end right there. In terms of the quarterback position battle, one thing about Jarrett Stidham, you can tell this guy is more comfortable with the offense, given that this is his second year with Sean Payton. So you see that there. And in regards to Zach Wilson, that's something where you can tell he's like the new kid on the block, in a sense, where you still see the turnovers, you still see him trying to force plays, you still see him trying to get comfortable with the offense as a whole. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out during training camp, but out of all the three, Zach Wilson has kind of been the more inconsistent one.
Now, what's it like covering Sean Payton, compared to Harbs?
Oh, Sean Payton, it's no off day, I'll say that. You always got to be prepared for something major happening or something that he says that warrants a big headline. So, no, it's fun, but I'll tell you this. You got to be on your toes when you cover Sean Payton.
Do the people in the organization, do they like him?
Yes. The thing is, when you look at ownership, the biggest thing when it comes to the reason they hired him, because they want to win. The ownership really wants to get the ball rolling. You see that what they've done with business decisions in terms of uniforms, stadium upgrades, and on the field as well. And that's the one thing about Sean Payton is they believe he's the type of coach that where he – like his methods might seem pretty crazy, but they know that he wants the same results as they do, and that's the one thing that that's what they have in common.
Now, what are their biggest needs going into the season?
So one thing I would say this: they did a good job addressing the defensive line. To me, that was one of the biggest needs going into the draft and the off season. But as we go into the season, you got to look at how the wide receiver room shapes up. That's my biggest thing is, like, you know, you're going to get Courtland Sutton, you got Josh Reynolds. The biggest thing with Broncos, and this is what they had issue with Russell Wilson, is having that X factor on offense. What I mean by that is, like, someone that, like, you know, that the defense knows that's going to be a threat. Mm-hmm. And right there, they don't have that at tight end. Sean Payton expected Greg Dulcich just to be that way, but however, he's been dealing with a lot of the hamstring issues. He's dealing with a foot injury, so he really hasn't evolved into that role of that. So if you had to pick a biggest need, it's there, trying to find a pass catching threat at the tight end position, and maybe Greg Dulcich can, you know, figure it out, get himself healthy before training camp, and he's someone that'd be ready to go by the time the season starts. But to me, if you look at that offense, that's what they need. Even if you go back to Sean Payton's days in New Orleans when he had Jimmy Graham and how impactful he was on that offense. And that's what they're going to need. And to me, at the moment, that's probably the biggest need.
Now, Ryan, what about the division? I mean, the Chargers look like they're going to be good. Chiefs are defending Super Bowl champs. Where does Denver fit in?
When you look at Denver, I would say this. At the moment, I could see them probably – third, it's going to be tough because, like, I look at them and I look at the Raiders and that situation where it comes to, like, you really don't know what to expect from them. And Denver is kind of in that rebuild. Like, Denver, they won't admit it, but, like, Denver is kind of in that rebuilding phase in terms of you got a new quarterback. You let go a lot of key pieces on veteran pieces like, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Justin Simmons. So, you know, this is a little bit of a younger team. So they're in that phase right now. At the same time, they got Sean Payton as a coach, and that's the type of guy that no matter who's on the team, he's going to do whatever it takes to win. So it's going to be tough. I feel like if anything, I think at most at the moment, the most they could probably be is a 7-win team, maybe five. But it all depends on a lot of things in terms of who steps up in the wide receiver room. Does Marvin Mims take that second-year lead? Can that rotation edge rushers with Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper, and Baron Browning, can they take that next step? Because that's one thing they've had issues with on defense is applying pressure to the quarterback. And when you're dealing in the division with, you know, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, that's essential right there is bringing that pressure. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough season. It's going to be a tough season for Denver. They're going to have that stretch where they play the Ravens and after that, Kansas City Chiefs. So the schedule is not going to do them that much justice either. So it's going to be interesting to see. But right now, I look at them as a team that's probably in that, like, 5 to 7-win window.
Ryan McFadden, Denver Post, joining us, Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ryan, last thing for you. What's all the hubbub with this Patrick Surtain stuff, possible trade going down here?
I don't expect anything in regards to Patrick Surtain. Sean Payton loves him. He views him as a core piece of this organization. Patrick Surtain has said numerous times that he wants to be here in Denver. He wants, you know, be here long term. He loves the franchise, loves the organization. He's made an impact on the field and off the field here in this area. So no, I don't expect, unless something changes down the road, but at the moment I don't expect anything with Patrick Surtain. I think it'll be wise for the Broncos to lock him up long term.
Ryan, always great to talk to you. Have a great summer, man. Good to catch up. We will talk to you in November prior to that matchup, Ravens-Broncos here in Baltimore. Ryan McFadden, Denver Post. Have a great day.
Thanks, Ryan.
You too, guys.
You got it. Ryan McFadden, everybody. You just cover the Ravens and the Terps for the Baltimore Sun. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. Got an NFL lunch coming up at 1. American League East report, 1:15. Quiet night in the division. Only one game, but chock full of division stuff this evening, including Baltimore at New York and Jim Duquette, MLB Network Radio, former Oriole GM, and our colleague, Emeritus, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. He'll be joining us at 1:30 as Suarez looks to remain undefeated against former Oriole Nestor Cortez. Fitty and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Coming up top of the hour, NFL lunch, feed you some more football. American League East report at 1:15. Talk about what happened in the division last night. Not a lot, but still significant nonetheless. Busy schedule tonight. We'll give you the standings update, not just in the East, but throughout baseball. Jim Duquette, former Oriole GM, now with MLB Network Radio, joining us at 1:30. Talk about the Orioles and Yankees and other things happening throughout MLB. But let's bring Nolan in one more time. Now, anything change in the last hour, Nolan, or everything good with you? You didn't win the lottery or something that I can borrow money? No.
Hey, the day I win the lottery,
the day you're done.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's me. I made that perfectly clear. Right. The day I win the lottery is the last day you'll ever see me again. No cards, no calls, Facebook page shut down. That's a wrap. Gonzo.
Might come in for a day just to brag.
Maybe to buy lunch.
Oh, that's very presumptuous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hold your breath, wait for me to buy you lunch.
I do owe Vinny a sandwich. I know that. He got me a sandwich last week. That was
no, but if you
fantastic.
Win a lottery, you wouldn't buy everybody lunch? I'd cater. I'd have a private chef.
Private chef, they can watch me eat it.
Just for the talent. Well, just for the people that... I'd do it on a Friday, you know that?
Wow.
That's when I'd do it, Bob. You know why?
What?
It's less likely for an outburst on a Friday.
No. Is that why? Friday, who's here on Fridays? And us.
All right, let me make this as clear as I possibly can. I win the say I win Mega Millions tonight. The chances of
how much is it?
It's like 60 mil. After taxes, say I'm the sole winner, I get like 40. The chances of me catering lunch on Friday are zero. You have a better chance of getting eaten by a Tyrannosaurus Rex on your drive home or on your way to see the Beatles open for Jimi Hendrix or vice versa at Memorial Stadium. That is not happening. The Bobster is someone you'll be talking about in the past tense. Don't mean to be harsh, but it's real. Unlike the Funhouse, which is all fun and it's welcoming, the Funhouse. Unless they win the lottery.
Quick draws. Screw you, fellas.
Really bad.
The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
1057 The Fan.
All right, we'll start here with the NBA Finals. Texter says, I feel a little bad for Luka. What a golden opportunity to make the finals with the defending champs already getting knocked out. I'm wondering if he will have a Dirk-like career arc where he avenges a rough finals appearance a few years later.
Yeah, well, look, this guy's very young into his NBA career. They made the conference finals 2 years ago, missed the playoffs last year, got all the way to it, won a game. But Dirk eventually won that ring. Their most devastating loss was when they got bounced by Golden State, who was like the eighth seed in the playoffs. Dirk Nowitzki way back when. The Luka story's far from being written, but I thought the final sucked.
Yeah.
Very anticlimactic. Or is it climactic or climatic?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, I know I'm not catering lunch if I win the lottery.
You win the lottery, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, I'll say it now. I don't care.
Let's see. I got some on the Ravens here. Texter says, I'd love to see a more unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at the Ravens. The team has their own wired segments, but Hard Knocks, a lot more gritty, doesn't sugarcoat things after losses. I think I still would have preferred a training camp version rather than in-season, but still cool, still be watching.
Well, in training camp version, you know, guys could probably show their personalities more and stuff. During the season, it's going to be more tense and, you know, especially depending on people's records. I think the last 6 weeks, I think it's going to be really interesting.
This one here on the Orioles, Texter says, the pitching matchups don't concern me. The Orioles have had more success against Gerrit Cole in the past 2 years than they have prior. Same with Cortez. They aren't so big and bad when they actually have to face a competitive O's team. Not worried at all.
Well, worried, it's all relative. On paper, the Yankees have the advantage with the pitching matchups. I mean, Kate Povich is making his third start. Albert Suarez was pitching in Korea last year, you know what I mean? And then this Luis Hill guy pitching on Thursday has been great, but Cole Irvin's been outstanding for the Orioles. The Orioles bats play. They're 22-10 on the road. They lead the majors in home runs. I think they're leading the majors in runs scored or up there in June. I mean, the offense is good enough to rake any. Look what they did to Zach Wheeler on Sunday. 8 earned runs, 4 homers. They're not afraid of it. Again, I mean, why are the Orioles always, they'd be the little train that could. The Orioles are, they've got a 600-plus winning percentage in the last 2 years. Next. This get me texter, all fired up here, and I hate the bleeping Yankees anyway.
This texter would agree with that sentiment. Says the Orioles took 3 out of 4 from the Yankees earlier this season.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about that.
Closely contested games. In the lone Yankees win, Aaron Boone was managing like it was Game 7 of a playoff series, calling upon his closer to get a 5-out save. He was panicking after losing the first 2 games. Then the O's stomped them in Game 4. The Orioles are now the bullies.
Well, I don't know if they're the bullies, but they're certainly willing and able to stand up to anyone else. They will not get bullied. Oh, I can't wait. Let's bring it on, man. I'm ready for this one. Nolan, you going to be fired up for this game tonight at 7:05? After you listen to Baltimore Baseball tonight at 6 with Tim Barbalace and Jim Hunter, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts here on The Fan.
I might listen to it back-to-back in case I missed anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You don't want to miss a word.
No.
Coming up tonight on The Fan.
Last one here on the helmets. People are split in their opinion. This texter says, why such a push for the yellow or gold color scheme to be brought out for the Ravens? It's not one of their primary colors. Stop trying to make it work.
Why do the Vikings go all white? You know, I don't know. I guess that's the color scheme that they could come up with for an alternate uniform or something that people, you know, may want to buy. I don't know why people do. I'm traditionalist like Bob.
Well, yeah. It's better than the gold pants. We know that. For sure.
That was nasty.
That was bad.
Yeah.
Whoever did that should have been scolded and put in timeout because those things were ugly. But as Vinny said, it's the alternate uniform. It's not the regular helmet. It's just maybe, hopefully, a one-off. And, you know, buy it. It could be a keepsake or even a, I don't know, what do they call those things? Collector's item. How about that? Depending on who they play, whether wear those ugly ass things. But anyway, we'll come back. NFL lunch coming your way. American League East report at 1:15. And then Jim Duquette, talk Orioles Yankees with him. How about the Mets? Since Grimace threw out the first pitch, they haven't lost a game. Now they're very much in the wild card. So got all these teams still thinking they go to the playoffs, which means how many sellers are really going to be out there come the trade deadline next month? 5881057, the Fan. Coming up top of the hour, NFL lunch, feed you some more football. American League East report at 1:15. Talk about what happened in the division last night. Not a lot, but still significant nonetheless. Busy schedule tonight. We'll give you the standings update, not just in the East, but throughout baseball. Jim Duquette, former Oriole GM, now with MLB Network Radio, joining us at 1:30. Talk about the Orioles and Yankees and other things happening throughout MLB. But let's bring Nolan in one more time. Now, anything changed in the last hour, Nolan, or everything good with you? You didn't win the lottery or something that I can borrow money? No.
Hey, the day I win the lottery, you
the
won't
day
see
you're
me
done.
Again. Yeah.
All right, well, that's me. I made that perfectly clear. Right. The day I win the lottery is the last day you'll ever see me again. No cards, no calls, Facebook page shut down. That's a wrap. Gone so.
Might come in for a day just to brag.
Maybe to buy lunch.
Oh. That's very presumptuous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hold your breath. Wait for me to buy you lunch.
I do owe Vinny a sandwich. I know that. He got me a sandwich last week. That was
no, but if you
fantastic.
Win a lottery, you wouldn't buy everybody lunch? I'd cater. I'd have a private chef.
Private chef, they can watch me eat it.
Just for the talent. Well, just for the people that... I do it on a Friday. You know that?
Wow.
That's when I do it, Bob. You know why?
What?
It's less likely for an outburst on a Friday.
No. Is that why? Friday. Who's here on Fridays? And us.
All right, let me make this as clear as I possibly can. I win the say I win Mega Millions tonight. The chances of
how
me,
much is it?
It's like 60 mil. After taxes, say I'm the sole winner, I get like 40. The chances of me catering lunch on Friday are zero. You have a better chance of getting eaten by a Tyrannosaurus Rex on your drive home or on your way to see the Beatles open for Jimi Hendrix or vice versa at Memorial Stadium. That is not happening. The Bobster is someone you'll be talking about in the past tense. Don't mean to be harsh, but it's real. Unlike the Funhouse, which is all fun and it's welcoming, the Funhouse. Unless they win a lot.
Quick draws. Funhouse.
Really bad.
The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, we'll start here with the NBA Finals. Texter says, I feel a little bad for Luka. What a golden opportunity to make the finals with the defending champs already getting knocked out. I'm wondering if he will have a Dirk-like career arc where he avenges a rough finals appearance a few years later.
Yeah. Well, look, this guy's very young into his NBA career. They made the conference finals 2 years ago, missed the playoffs last year, got all the way to it, won a game. But Dirk eventually won that ring. Their most devastating loss was when they got bounced by Golden State, who was like the eighth seed in the playoffs. Dirk Nowitzki way back when. The Luka story's far from being written, but I thought the final sucked.
Yeah.
Very anticlimactic. Or is it climactic or climatic?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, I know I'm not catering lunch if I win the lottery.
You win the lottery, you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, I'll say it now. I don't care.
Let's see. I got some on the Ravens here. Texter says, I'd love to see a more unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at the Ravens. The team has their own wired segments, but Hard Knocks, a lot more gritty, doesn't sugarcoat things after losses. I think I still would have preferred a training camp version rather than in-season, but still cool, still be watching.
Well, in training camp version, you know, guys could probably show their personalities more and stuff. During the season, it's going to be more tense and, you know, especially depending on people's records. I think it... The last 6 weeks, I think it's going to be really interesting.
This one here on the Orioles, Texter says, the pitching matchups don't concern me. The Orioles have had more success against Gerrit Cole in the past 2 years than they have prior. Same with Cortez. they aren't so big and bad when they actually have to face a competitive O's team. Not worried at all.
Well, worried, it's all relative. On paper, the Yankees have the advantage with the pitching matchups. I mean, Kate Povich is making his third start. Albert Suarez was pitching in Korea last year, you know what I mean? And then this Luis Hill guy pitching on Thursday has been great, but Cole Irvin's been outstanding for the Orioles. The Oriole bats play. They're 22-10 on the road. They lead the majors in home runs. I think they're leading the majors in runs scored or up there in June. I mean, the offense is good enough to rake any. Look what they did to Zach Wheeler on Sunday. 8 earned runs, 4 homers. They're not afraid of it. Again, I mean, why are the Orioles always? They need the little train that could. The Orioles are. They've got a 600-plus winning percentage in the last 2 years. Next. This get me all fired up here, and I hate the bleeping Yankees anyway.
This texter would agree with that sentiment. Says the Orioles took 3 out of 4 from the Yankees earlier this season.
Oh, yeah. We
closely contested games. In the lone Yankees win, Aaron Boone was managing like it was Game 7 of a playoff series, calling upon his closer to get a 5-out save. He was panicking after losing the first 2 games. Then the O's stomped them in Game 4. The Orioles are now the bullies.
I don't know if they're the bullies, but they're certainly willing and able to stand up to anyone else. They will not get bullied. Oh, I can't wait. Let's bring it on, man. I'm ready for this one. Nolan, you're going to be fired up for this game tonight at 7:05 after you listen to Baltimore Baseball tonight at 6 with Tim Barbalace and Jim Hunter, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts here on The Fan.
I might listen to it back-to-back in case I missed anything.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to miss a word.
No.
Coming up tonight on The Fan.
Last one here on the helmets. People are split in their opinion. This texter says, why such a push for the yellow or gold color scheme to be brought out for the Ravens? It's not one of their primary colors. Stop trying to make it work.
Why do the Vikings go all white? You know, I don't know. I guess that's the color scheme that they could come up with for an alternate uniform or something that people, you know, may want to buy. I don't know why people do it. I'm traditionalist like Bob.
Well, yeah. It's better than the gold pants. We know that for sure.
Oh, that was nasty.
That was bad.
Yeah.
Whoever did that should have been scolded and put in timeout because those things were ugly. But as Vinny said, it's the alternate uniform. It's not the regular helmet. It's just maybe, hopefully, a one-off. And, you know, buy it. It could be a keepsake or even a, I don't know, what do they call those things? Collector's item. How about that? Depending on who they play, whether they wear those ugly-ass things. But anyway, we'll come back. NFL lunch coming your way. American League East report at 1:15. And then Jim Duquette, talk Orioles-Yankees with him. How about the Mets? Since Grimace threw out the first pitch, they haven't lost a game. Now, they're very much in the wild card. So, got all these teams still thinking they go to the playoffs, which means how many sellers are really going to be out there come the trade deadline next month?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments, Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.